Hello, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Creation Lightship Healing Show with Ron Ametron. Today is Friday, March 14th, 2014, and we are very happy and grateful to have a sponsor for our show tonight. A gentleman named Jay will be coming on to join Ron and me tonight. And first, of course, I'll bring Ron on. If you would like, before Ron comes on, you can open up the picture of the beautiful light being, which can be found on creationlightship.com. Just click on that and make it as large as you can, and Ron will come on and activate that with peace energy for all of us to enjoy during the show this evening. And now I'll say hello. Ron, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. So let's clear away some of the densities that you may have encountered during the week or the last couple of days. So here we go. Think of an issue that may have come across your doorstep there. So here we go. Releasing that. One, two, three, four, and five. I'm feeling anxiety out there. And again, one, two, three, four, and five. So I'll do an anxiety a clearing here. So think of an anxiety that you might be dealing with if you're one of those people. So here we go, releasing the energy. So I'll kind of use the word stronger to expand the energy. So stronger, 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 and stronger. Okie doke. So back to you, Ann. Oh, light being, everybody. Bring up the light being. Bring in the non-gender tonight. So here we go. Stronger, 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 and stronger. Okie doke. So back to you, Ann.
Thank you, Ron, and thank you, as always, for activating that light being. It feels terrific. And I'll welcome our guest, Jay, to come on this evening. I know that Jay is from Southern California and was recently at the Expo in Los Angeles, where he met Ron. And I'm looking forward very much to his questions and input tonight. So welcome, Jay.
Thank you. Hello. Hello, Ron.
Hi, Jay. Glad to have you on tonight.
Thank you. So I have a question about money, about how money works, about how, you know, it seems like nowadays everyone is without enough money, and there's a lot of struggle around that. So I'd like to talk about money a little bit.
Okay.
So I heard from one of the archives the idea of not asking for money, but asking for what you want. Like I say, I want a house. I want a nice house to live in. And then out of focusing on that, then the money can show up. Is that a fair summation of how it works?
Yeah. Basically, you're here to experience in creativity. And so money really is not going to give you creativity if you were to focus on it. Not that it probably couldn't, but normally, you know, we buy things with money. Now, the darkness out there, the aliens that don't want you to have money, are going to find ways to sabotage you from having enough money to buy what you want. But if you think of something that's used in creativity, then or that you want to have, that's already been created by somebody, then by focusing on that particular item, it may come to you a lot easier. Plus, you can be in the now more to draw it to you rather than thinking of the money itself. So the money is just a means kind of to the end or ends, and you want to focus on what you want to bring into your life rather than just money, because money is just money. And it's not going to typically grow that way. Not that it can't, but normally, plus you have to become what you want to have created. So if you're looking for a house and you think about the money to have that, you have to put your energy into becoming that house, you know, aligning yourself with that. Where aligning yourself with money, it's not going to really go anywhere, you know. So you're not going to turn into a $100 bill, you know, because the energy there is there with a lot of people connected to the $100 bill or bills that are out there floating around, or even 20s, or just think of $1. So by focusing on, say, a house that you may wish to acquire, that would be, really big steps for most people. But it's not that it's impossible. But you may want to try some baby steps first. Maybe if you want to get a house, and maybe focus on the house. And at that point, what you're really focusing on is possibly maybe the down payment for the house. So the house is still there. But, it's probably going to be a little harder to focus on a really gigantic big item that might cost, we're looking at maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, if houses were like, say, $10,000, then it probably wouldn't be much of a big deal, because that would be, if everything was kind of equal, it would be much easier than to focus on something that cost a whole bunch.
Uh-huh.
Does that help you? Because you have to become the reality. You have to become that house, you become that car, become, tool that you're going to be using in your shop or something, or a saw or a dress or something. Because then, you're looking at an item that you can actually see yourself having and wearing, whereas the money, unless you wanted to make some clothing out of money and put that on around you, much harder to deal with the money itself. And plus, you have all the energy of the money, you see. Like I was saying, if you were to buy a house, it would say it's a $100,000 house, and you focused on having a dollar. Well, that's $100,000. That's a lot of money and a lot of negativity on that money from other people holding it.
Huh.
That's another way of looking at it, because the money itself will have a lot of negative energy on it just from people exchanging it.
Well, I did put on a psychic billboard that money comes to me easily and things like that. So, what should I do since I've already done that?
Just see how it's working for you. See if you start to have people open up doors for you to receive more money, okay? Naturally, you may have to do some work for it, unless you happen to be very, very lucky and you start finding, say, $10 bills on the ground all the time as you're walking around. But typically, just see how people are responding to you, because they're reading you with that money. And
they're reading you with that money? Since I put on a billboard, they're reading me with money in my life.
Yeah. So they're seeing you rather than being in lack of money. The billboard would first start off with saying, because you are, if you want money, then that means you don't have it, so that's where you are. You don't have money. So everybody who sees you is going to be reading that you don't have any money. And so what you do is put down that maybe you want to have more money, or that you're wealthy. You could probably put that in there, because wealthy could be anything. And then from there, people will start reading you differently. And you may just happen to go into a store to buy some clothing, and the person may read you as being wealthy, and they may say, hey, you got a lot of money. We got all these sales over here. And you go, I didn't really plan to buy, socks today, but, man, they're like, you get five pairs for a dollar or something, And so you may get money that way coming to you, because they're going to read you as having a lot of money, and the person may read that as that you can spend a lot, and they'll show you maybe where all the sales are. That's a possibility. So you have to watch people and see how they're, relating to you.
I see what you mean. Yeah, that makes good sense. So the from listening to the archives and the radio shows, I understand that this whole reality is a hologram that the aliens have created.
Yes,
is that correct?
And it's, once you start catching on to it, then you realize that you are a choice to start projecting your own hologram, which is why you can do timeline crashing to get off of the other timelines that you don't want to be on and get on one that maybe is more beneficial to you, because it's probably out there. It would have to be out there, because, if you have a maybe let's just say cars. So you have an older car, and it works fine for you, but maybe you're the only person in your town with this older car. Everybody else has newer ones, or they're on the timeline with the newer cars. And you have an older car. It doesn't mean that it's good or bad, but it does exist. So they happen to be on the timeline that is existing to have that particular car come to them. And maybe...
So I could...
Yes.
I could crash the one I'm on, the old car timeline, and then put on the psychic billboard, I'm on a timeline, or I have a new car in my life.
Yeah, that is correct, uh-huh. Because okay. It is out there, because the other people have the car, so right away it's validation that there is enough money or whatever it is to have a new car.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't matter what it is. Or maybe you have a new car and you don't like it. So now your billboard says, I don't like my new car. Okay? And all of a sudden you start seeing older cars come before your eyes. And you go, I want to get me an older car. This new one here has a plastic dashboard, you know, and it's not that great. You know, and you want to get one that's, say, 20 years old, where maybe there's some quality in that car, possibly. I'm just throwing something out here because some people always want something new. And you go, wow, I want to get this car that has some value to it. And so then you're going to start seeing things maybe with more value,
mm-hmm.
be not as inflated.
Uh-huh. So back to the idea about the hologram being created by the aliens. Originally, was it the hologram idea created by the light ship, creation light ship, and then it's been hijacked?
Well, the light ship just creates, everything is created in light. So everything is a possibility in light that you would take that blueprint of that and create it. Now, that's on a planet of light. So they took the same process here and just put it into darkness. So they're great at copying things. And because of that is, you know, why we have what we have here, an abundance of everything, but it's not necessarily heart-centered or in the moment. Remember, if the holograms were in the moment, everything would be here. But no, they're on timelines. So that's a good way to look at it, because they're on timelines into the future.
And not in the moment.
Normally not in the moment. You will be in the moment once when you get on the timeline, but what if they sped time up for you? We know how days change now. Some days go really slow for us, other ones go fast. So that's because the timeline is being created differently. But in the source energy, there's only the moment, and then you have all possibilities. So when you do the mind-to-heart drop and you're in the moment, then you have all those possibilities. Time stops for you. That's for a lot of people who are creative. It's like a song a writer or something, or a composer. Time will stop, or if you just, you know, doodle on a piece of paper, or you're doing something that you enjoy doing, then all of a sudden the time stops. And that's because you're in source energy, and you have all those possibilities, because you're not editing and judging the source energy as if you're doing it properly or not.
Uh-huh. So I'm interested in this idea of the aliens creating the duplicate of and the hologram of maybe what was originally created from creation light ship. Is that a fair statement?
What's that again?
Well, have the aliens duplicated what was originally created?
In a sense, yes. Uh-huh. So they still...
I mean, I'm kind of... Yeah.
It's still the impression or partial parts of the blueprint. It looks like Ann got cut off, so I'm just telling Don if he's hearing to call Ann back again.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Don. So everything is out there in light. That's why if I take flowers at the expos, and I normally have a vase of flowers next to me, and sometimes I'll just energize them to get rid of the clone replicas to make them real. It's the same-looking flower, in a sense, but all of a sudden now it becomes real and it just radiates energy like crazy.
Uh-huh.
So it is copied. Yeah, but
so I'm wondering if the story about mankind being kicked out of the Garden of Eden is along this line that we're in this other duplicate hologram.
I would say so, yes. Uh-huh.
So I had this thought once that a lot of things in this world is the truth is usually the opposite of what's presented. So I was thinking about, well, if what would be the opposite if we were kicked out of the Garden of Eden is that somebody came into the Garden of Eden and took over and then blamed us for it. Humanity, blamed humanity.
Very possibly, yeah. Uh-huh. And there are different alien gods out there that are in the Bible, we'll say, if you want to look at that. You know, Jehovah's one of them. You know, then you had the whatever God Moses prayed to. It could be the same one. I have no clue on that, to be honest. But
according to the Bible, Moses, or at least one Bible, there's different Bibles, prayed to Yahweh.
Yahweh, too, yeah. So these are all different aliens that, you know, the old story, you know, a God-fearing man or something, you know, that was told a lot, you know, which means, yeah, you know, just think when you're growing up and maybe you go to church and you're afraid to do anything because you do something and geez, you're gonna get a thunderbolt coming out of the sky to make you into a crispy critter or something, you know. So
yeah.
You know, everybody is sort of afraid of that, and then all of a sudden you sort of do something that you should have a punishment and you go, oh, nothing happened to me, you know. I'm still here. And then that's kind of how it goes. But some people are still terrified of going against, you know, what the Bible is. And then they talk about it. Oh, it's Satan tempting you. Well, the whole thing is that negative energy out there.
Right.
So, remember, when you're in
contact. There's one guy who talks. Excuse me, go ahead. We're in the darkness.
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
in
you're
mind.
In the darkness regardless until you get into the present moment.
Oh. I am becoming more aware of the difference between mind-generated timelines and just being in the moment.
Yeah, once you get used to it, being in the moment, then your life will start to change because all that gunk around you and people talking about this and gossip and, you know, everything else that people normally do that everybody has been attracted to or connected to, then that starts dropping away. And you go, wow, I don't have to hear this stuff anymore, or I don't have to be the fix-it person for everybody. You know, I'm just going to live my own life peacefully. And then people will start dropping out of your life because you probably are choosing that because you don't want to live with that reality.
Uh-huh.
And at first, for some people, like when they first do their emotional clearing, they are so involved with emotions in life and the emotions they believe they need to drive them, to spur them on, like having a cup of coffee every day, you know. And then all of a sudden, that drive goes away because the emotions that was actually catapulting them into maybe thinking that they have to have this and live and it bounced back and forth in the emotional reality of duality. Once that's released, they go, uh-oh, I feel different because I don't have that energy now to push me forward. So
right.
At that point, then they realize, well, wow, now I'm at free choice. I could be at peace if I want to.
Right.
Especially have more energy than what you had before.
Right. I've been through that as I did the emotional clearing, I did the mental clearing, and as things have fallen away, it's like I have this absence of this drive to work. I have to work all the time, which is the way I've lived most of my adult life, is always thinking I have to be working to survive. And
uh-huh.
It's a little unsettling, the shift. It's good in a sense, but there is this fear I've had to deal with it. If I don't work all the time, something bad is going to happen.
Ah. Yeah, so the fear of clearing is sometimes next with a lot of people because, you know, fear is a great motivation, you know, motivator.
Yeah.
Most people, when they do the emotional clearing, they may not recognize how they look. Normally when you do the emotional clearing, I have people walk around, you know, every, like if say you're 40, so every 10 years, you stop it, and maybe for 10 minutes, walk around, you're going to start feeling your muscles relaxing, and when they relax, then it's like having a back massage or a nice massage, and then you're walking around, maybe you start feeling your ankles kind of, you know, the bones cracking and things getting back into physical alignment because your muscles have been held so tight by all this mind, thought, energy, which is keeping them tied in knots. So once you get that release, then all of a sudden your body can get into realignment again, and you don't know what else is happening inside of your physical body. You see, all you're hearing is like your shoulder may have popped back into place, or your neck or something, and you go, well, I've been trying to get this fixed by the chiropractor for 20 years, and it just went in, you know? And so once you get that out of you, then your body starts to feel better, and most people, when they do the clearing, people look at them and they go, what happened to you? And you go, well, what? You know, because you're kind of shocked because you don't know how you're looking to them. Normally you might be glowing more, might be smiling more. Your energy field is completely changed. And people will comment on how much better you look typically. And I have had people where they actually had lines on their faces from stress just go away. So that's why the emotional clearing is so wonderful. And people will validate it for you. And then all of a sudden you're not tying into, you know, going out and like I kind of say, you know, if you're an older woman, you know, you go to lunch with your girlfriends or something, you know. Well, say maybe 20 or older, you know, and they start talking about their husband's problems and maybe the guy's cheating on them or something, you know, or they have all these issues, you know, which is common. They're common issues, but you go, man, you know, I got my divorce, and, you know, it wasn't the greatest thing in the world or breakup or whatever. And but each time these other people start drawing you into their scenario, and then you're reliving yours. And once you get that clearing, you're going to go, you know, I don't want to live there any longer. You know, you ladies can do your thing, or man can do their thing or whatever, and I'm just choosing to become more peaceful. And then, you know, like I say, if you do have that situation, maybe you have children, you know, and you're going through the process of bouncing the kids back and forth every week or something, you know, then do your husband or your wife. Do the emotional clearing on them, and all of a sudden they're going to be more peaceful towards you, and then do the kids. And all of a sudden you might even maybe get back together again, possibly. That may not be a bad thing, or it could just be, well, we're going to live in peace now. We did this, we have the children, and now we're going to look after them the best we can, and I'm not going to bring up an old issue that you did or I did or anything else. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
Oh, I can.
That's true with jobs and things. You know, people talk about their job or whatever. Oh, my old boss did this, that, and the other. I don't want to do that job anymore. You know, it could be possible that maybe somebody out there made a lot of money 1 year, and then they found out that what they were doing maybe hurt somebody or caused a situation, a problem. You know, some people talk about how the rich people are cheats or crooks or something. That's one of the phrases that people associate rich people of, or they stole something from somebody to get rich. Not that it couldn't be true, but maybe you found yourself in that situation where your boss did that and you were doing all the work and they used the money to cause harm. And now you say, I'm never going to get that job again. I'm not going to, you know, get that job because my boss could be this other way. Well, just do a clearing because you're actually, you know, not supporting yourself with your good if you're good at what you were doing because you're using your creativity and you're always in source energy at some point using that creativity because that's what you want to do. So at that point, just look for a boss that maybe is more in integrity than what your old boss was, you see. And by you having that emotional clearing, you're not going to be in that energy of the old boss anymore, and you're not going to probably draw that energy to you. So back to you.
Draw that energy to you of a new boss?
Yeah, recycling the old. Because if you don't clear it, you're going to get the old back. History repeats itself.
Oh, yeah.
And the only reason why it repeats itself is because it's still stored inside of you. Has to be repeated because you're hanging on to that old dog bone, you know.
Oh wow!
You're gonna be there forever, you know.
So I noticed on the website, there's a clearance for to clear your pre-birth DNA. I think that's how it's phrased. What is that about?
Okay. What's the clearing again?
Hold on. I printed it out here. Let me see here. It is titled, it's under, it's under current lifetime advanced clearance. And one of them is called Spirit Fetus Infusion. Bring forth additional DNA for enhancing talents plus physical attributes.
Yep, that's what it is. So let's just say that you happen to be a songwriter, okay? I don't know if you are or not. Maybe you are, but we'll just say you're a songwriter. And you're getting kind of frustrated because you can't really do more than what you can do. Or maybe you play the guitar, right, and you can only move your hands so fast or whatever, and you kind of hit your peak. And what you're doing is, whatever that would be, you know, whatever you're doing as a job, for instance, or a hobby, you've hit your peak. Well, what happened was when you were first born, when you're being created in the womb, you were bringing forth different talents and attributes in the DNA that your spirit sort of saw your DNA, a glimpse of what you could do, and it brought up different amounts of DNA for you to experience, okay? And so all of a sudden it goes, well, yes, see, this person's a songwriter. There's maybe like six past lives of the person's maybe, you know, created music or sung music, and we'll bring those six forward. But there might be 10 more. But they say, well, six looks good to me. And so all of a sudden, you know, you start singing your songs or whatever, and you just can't hit that high note, we'll say. So all of a sudden, what you can do then is go in and do that clearing and say, I want to, you know, have a little more of this talent, because maybe your spirit saw 100 talents that you could do, and you picked one of those talents, but it couldn't bring everything forward to flood into you. So then you go, okay, well, what I'm going to do now is see if I can get some more DNA coming into me from past lives, because remember, who you are is your past lives. You're living the life of your ancestors. There was a young girl, I think it was a young girl, on YouTube, no, not YouTube, but Yahoo, a couple of days ago, you know, they'd say, oh, her soul is an old soul or whatever, because she's singing, you know, like an old person, I would assume. Well, that could be entities in her, but and it could also be some of that DNA coming forward, but it's probably entities. But anyway, so from there, I'll just switch gears quickly, but you can bring forth more energy to yourself to go back into more of those past lives so you can have a little more talents. Now, if you're born maybe with a situation with your body, you know, maybe you're a runner and, you know, you're out there running laps or trying to go a faster quarter mile or something, you go, man, I hit my peak. Well, then you could also bring that forward. Or maybe you have some type of, I don't want to use the word birth effect, but you have some kind of problem that, you know, you'd like to overcome. Well, maybe that DNA can help you overcome it.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's a spirit infusion. We go, you know, for the 9 months of time. So that's, 9 times 4, 36 weeks approximately. And each week you can sit down and just input what you want to have brought forward, because you don't know when your spirit is bringing forth that DNA.
You mean the program is set up so every week for the 9 months gestation, so it's 36 weeks. So each week, if you order that program, you specifically put in what you want in your DNA to come forward that week?
Yes, and I'd only pick maybe, I don't know what I put on the website. It's quite an old clearing that I put up a long, long time ago. But, yeah, I would probably do one or two things maybe. You know, just keep it simple so that you can get validation that, yeah, this thing really worked. You know, I brought this energy forward and, you know, I could only do half a backflip, you know, and I landed flat on the ground and now I can do a full one, you know.
Uh-huh.
So you want to, you know, kind of go gently with it. But it should bring forth more talent that you have inside of yourself.
Uh-huh. Now, here's another one. Immaculate conception, current lifetime. Rewrite your conception by releasing negative parental energy and replacing it with divine creation energy.
Now, that sounds wonderful. That's during your creation, okay? So what that does, it takes away your parents' mental, say, thought energy, their stuff. Let's just say their stuff. So your father's stuff and your mother's stuff. So it takes that away so you can have a more purer conception. Let's see, how could I do that differently here? Okay, we'll say that for somehow, maybe you were conceived after your parents were at this party, and they're both kind of wasted, right? That would be, alcohol or drugs or something, right? And they're both wasted, and, you know, she gets pregnant. And so what's their mindset during that conception, okay? And what stuff is going into her body, and what's his thoughts during the mating practice? We'll just use that, okay?
Okay.
Both of them. Well, what are their thoughts there? And then what's being passed on to you?
Huge.
So that's going to be your initial probably impact of the egg and the sperm, what they're thinking, okay, or what their thoughts are, or maybe, you know, their whole energy system now is coming into you. Now, just going a step further, let's say that they're both alcoholics, okay, and they were heavily drinking, and they did the mating practice, we'll call it that, okay? And all of a sudden, that little sperm and egg, you know, they're going, oh, wow, this is really something. We're really drunk here, right? Are you going to get an addiction from that? It's going to activate the DNA of that, you know, during that conception process.
Yeah, I would think so. You'd be carrying it, certainly.
So that's kind of the way, you know, you want to look at that clearing. You know, it can make a lot of sense to people, you know. You don't want to go there. You don't want to do anything like that that's going to harm somebody else, but yet that's what happened to you or to them. So, and it could be also, an entity child where maybe they did take some something to alter their mind, we'll say, and their consciousness, and all of a sudden the grandparents came in, or great-great-great-grandparents. They wanted to have a child that they can claim their own, which is an entity child, because they're the entities and they're creating you through the mating process, we'll call it, okay? So they came into the male and the female, Uncle Fred and, Aunt Sally, who are deceased, right? And all of a sudden, they created that to happen.
Huh.
And it's possible that maybe... Maybe the couple were dating and they really didn't want to have a sexual occurrence, right? They said, no, we're going to save this till we get married. We're going to get married in 2 years. So they got out, maybe they got a few drinks or whatever, and these entities came in and they go, well, we'll just do this now, you know? And it wasn't really them. And now maybe they have all the guilt behind that. They go, oh, no, we created a baby out of wedlock and, you know, what's the church going to think? You know, maybe the girl's 16 or something, or less even. And so all of a sudden you have all that parental stuff coming on you and peer pressure and everything else. So, and that's why if any women are listening, that's why I have the special clearing for abortions. So that's on there. And that could even possibly work if you... had a child that maybe, or you knew about yourself, really not being wanted, and your mother told you the story about, you know, what happened, and all of a sudden now you feel all this guilt, like, uh-oh, they did this, they didn't want me. Well, there's some stuff on there that I'm sure would work for you, but it deals with the fears and the guilt of the father and mainly the mother, but it works both ways, you know, what the church thinks of you, the doctors, the nurses, your friends, there's all types of stuff there. So that can help to release that off of you because you may be carrying a heavy weight. And you might intuitively know that, yeah, they really didn't want to have me. So that clearing could help you out with that too. I think it's $50 and you can go in there and just clear yourself out.
Huh. So that would probably be a good one to do, and then do the spirit fetus infusion.
Yeah, probably so, yes, uh-huh. Get yourself cleared out first so you can, bring forth more energy from the past.
And there's one here about a twin flame connection.
Yep.
So how does a twin flame idea work? I've heard you say before we were split. When we were first created as spirit, we were split into two parts?
Yeah, that is correct. When we go to the light ship, you're whole. They materialize both of you, so you're actually a total whole and complete spirit. When we do the clearings on people. In fact, whenever you do a clearing on the light ship, one of the clearings, you are typically on the light ship instantly, and the clearings take place that way also. But it takes all of that spirit energy to help you out. So in kind of theory, somehow they split the spirit in half some way, I don't know how, and from there, one part of you went to one land of light to experience light, and the other part, which would be you, will say, went to another land of light. And then you get back together again whenever you would like to. It could be hourly, could be, maybe monthly, although I'm talking about time, and time doesn't exist. But it's there just to have the connection so that maybe you don't feel lonely, and or maybe you want something to communicate with, to share your experience, and that is done on your home base energy. So your twin flame is the other half of you, and most people on this planet, I can almost say almost everybody will use that term, don't have their twin flame connection at all, so you do feel like you're never whole and complete because that other half of you is not with you. So you're not sharing your experience, so what you do is you instead look around for relations with other people to try to fill in that void, the gap that you have inside of yourself. And eventually, at first it may help because they may have something similar with them. And so since everybody will take and, in a sense, use another person, this may sound a little harsh, but this is the way it works.
Right.
So when you get into a relationship, you look at that other person, we'll say you just started a new relationship, you look at it and go, wow, what can they do for me? You know, wow, this person can cook, they can darn my socks, or man,
regular
sex.
Are,
and they can drive, they can do this, they can do that. Wow, they're really smart with figures, I'm done with that. And so the other person looks at you as what, so you look at them as what can I use from that person? Well, eventually, once you get into a relationship, you start taking those attributes into yourself. You start learning more, okay, in a sense. And at some point, you're going to go, wow, I sucked that person dry of all their stuff, and do I really need them now? I know this is going to sound kind of strange, but if you had a divorce out there, you can kind of relate to this. You go, yeah,
I can.
With this person,
I can.
I really liked them at first, and at the end, I saw all their bad stuff. Well, you got all the good stuff out. And so now what's left is the bad. In a sense. And so then you go, oh, I don't want to be with that person. So you look for somebody else now to fill those voids, those holes in you. And then you find the next person, and all of a sudden that same thing happens. So if you hear of anybody talking about, oh, in fact, I heard a man somehow saying, well, I had about 12 divorces so far. And I go, boy, that guy really must be dysfunctional, to have to get that many women out there to steal their energies to make them feel whole and complete,
So the other way would be is to get your twin flame connection and then be full from that and then give to in the world to your relationship, your earth relationship.
That way, but that could be true, too, because once you're whole and complete, you don't feel needy. So you're not really going to be drawing things to you, all the time, because you don't need it. And you sort of, you're always content most of the time, okay? I can't use the word always, but you're far more content than you would be being needy. Mm-hmm. And so some people are needy and they buy lots of things because they need to have something in their life to become needy and to do. But once you get your twin flame, it almost feels like you had a large meal, kind of like a Thanksgiving dinner, you know, where maybe, you know, traditionally people would stuff themselves because there's all this food, right? And then you gain 10 pounds after that, but basically that's kind of the way, you know, it was set up, because you're really thankful, you know, when you eat all this food and maybe have seconds or thirds. And then from there, you know, you feel stuffed. Well, when you have your twin flame with you, and just the energy of that, it fills that hole. You know, the other half of you is energetically with you. Now, I'm not going to say that you can talk to it every second of the day, because you don't want to have it stuck in darkness. But somehow just knowing that it's there brings that security inside of yourself. You don't feel lonely.
Hmm. So I had that done, my twin flame connection, and I did feel quite a shift, and I did feel a really nice, deep, peaceful sleep. But the question is, so now, is there anything, how do I maintain that, or
there's nothing to maintain, you already have it. So it's already, that energy is already with you, and it may not be the physical twin flame being in your presence, but the energy is there. So your spirit now feels content because it has found where that energy is. It kind of might...
Say that sentence again, please. The physical, say that again.
Okay, so the energy is with you physically, you know, energetically in your body.
Okay, it's there. Right, it's there.
Okay. And so you always have it. It kind of be like if you're, let's just say that you're out in the desert and you're trying to find, you know, water, that oasis someplace, right? And you're worried to death about it, where it is, and you're getting really, really thirsty. And then all of a sudden you find it, and now you know where it is. So now you can go walking around and go, oh, if I'm getting thirsty, I'll walk back to the oasis.
Because
you know where it is. You don't have to worry about it, and it's always going to be there. And you're not, you know, in fear of losing it or trying to find it because it may leave you, because it doesn't leave you.
Uh-huh. I think I like that, yeah. So is there any kind of healing we could do now for people listening to the show to connect with their twin flame, or is there anything we could do on the show in that regard?
Well, what I can do is bring in space holders. So I'll do that, okay. And I'll stay with people. I'll do it until our show's ending basically in about 15, maybe 10 minutes, I think, thereabouts. So what I'll do is we'll go that hour and 15 minutes. So you have a little bit over an hour, and I'll bring in space holders. Now, the space holder will just fill you up. You can't command it to do anything. It's just pure light, and it doesn't listen to your commands like your spirit would, but it will make you feel full and whole and complete. So here we go. To command the energy, I'll count to five to bring in space holders for everybody listening tonight. So, and it will leave a little bit over an hour. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. There. So now where those little voids were inside of you, where you were yearning, or your spirit was yearning, we'll say, to have the twin flame, right now it's filled full of light. So you should feel like maybe you had a big glass of water or something. You feel full, or like a large dinner or meal.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the space holders are for. We had to put the space holders into the planet here for probably, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years, when the Earth spirit left here. Uh-huh. So we did that so it wouldn't be taken over a whole lot by the aliens.
A whole lot.
Ron, excuse me, but can we, you know, ask for space holders to be around us now?
No, you cannot ask for space holders. I have to bring them in.
Okay.
Will this work for people who listen to the show in archives?
It'll work five times, but it probably won't do much good, because there's nothing you can do with a space holder. It'll bring you more peace.
So you made the comment about commanding our spirit, and what I've been doing before I go to sleep is, I find that word command a little strong, but I ask my spirit to stay in my body throughout the night, and to what was that expression? Skin wrap me?
Shrink wrap. Yes.
Shrink wrap me. Yeah. And that really does make a difference. But would you talk a little bit about this idea of command in our spirit and what we can and can't do or shouldn't do in relating to our spirit?
Well, your spirit is there to work with you. It's there to express itself through your creativity and to look out of your eyes. That's why it's here. The way it brings forth creativity is how much DNA do you have inside of you that can bring forth a talent. So it's like the caste system, okay? And, you know, you've heard about, in the old days, let's just say that your grandfather was a doctor and your father was a doctor. So what is your parents going to have you do? They want you to be a doctor. Why? Because it's in your genes, okay? They go, we did it. You can do it now. It's very easy. Well, that's the way that works. So your spirit then would probably pick up that situation that, yeah, there's a lot of talent there to be a doctor. And from there, you will probably do that, amongst other things, okay? So your spirit will find the DNA that maybe it chose for you to do, possibly, because it had to bring forth different things. Now, I'll just go into that now. So some people say, gee, I got this life path of doing this here. Well, that was your choice that was created in your soul family. Well, the darkness wanted you to do this. Not that that's bad, okay? So I don't want to make you think that, wow, and I'm doing this.
More mind energy than source energy?
Yeah. So the mind energy needed to do something. Like I say, you pick the best of the worst parents. And so your soul family, for some reason, wanted you to be that doctor, okay? And they found parents that would create you. And then from there, your spirit now can energize the doctor in you to do that. So I don't want you anybody to think that because you're doing what you're doing, it's a bad thing, okay? But that's the way the soul family works. The soul family gives you spiritual setups and agreements, and that could be called karma. Is it good or is it bad? It doesn't matter. It's just what you're doing. Nothing to do with being in the now. So that's the way they set you up. So I hope everybody understands what I'm talking about here. I'm taking it to the complete opposite direction here. So once you have that, and you command your spirit, like you're saying, to stay in your body at night, we'll go into that now, your spirit will stay with you. It won't leave. Now, what makes your spirit leave your body? It's being jerked out by the aliens. They're grabbing it and pulling it out of you. So your spirit will stay with you.
What's their purpose in doing that? To get the energy?
Yeah, to put you on timelines.
Oh, you're more manipulatable.
Yeah, plus you're sleeping, okay? And so your spirit might say, you know, I try to communicate with Joe here for the last week, and, man, they're just not connecting. So each time you go to bed at night and you're sleeping, you're not conscious, you're not moving, you're laying in bed sleeping, and you can't use your creativity when you're not sleeping, right? You can't make a house if you're a carpenter when you're sleeping, you know, because you're sleeping. You're not on your job. And so your spirit could probably be coaxed out of you very easily because the dark side could say, hey, here's Joe over here. He's building a house. And your spirit goes, holy cow, I got to go over there and help Joe out. And it looks just like you. And then your spirit pops into that body and Joe's making a house. And that's how they kind of trick it, in a very simplistic way of talking about it.
Well, tomorrow,
I'm going on a whale watch out on a boat to look at see the whales and the dolphins swimming in the wild. Any comments about what whales and dolphins are up to here and how we can relate with them?
Boy, not too much. You know, they're very, very conscious. I would just try to see what you can pick up and perceive from these beings. You know? Maybe they might attempt to communicate with you. Now, what I would do is see if you can get them close up, look into their eyes and have them communicate to you, because they will communicate through their eyes. I don't think you're going to see a whale that close. You know, but possibly. And you might have a lot of spirit information coming to you instantly, because the stuff is faster than the speed of light. So people think of spirit energy, you know, since we talk about the speed of light. Well, that's the dark side speed of light. In source energy, there's no such thing. It's instant. You can be communicating, you know, in a blink of an eye, get a lot of information. And if that's needed or you like that. So that's what I would do, is ask to have, maybe have them possibly talk to you, maybe share some of their experiences, because it'll happen instantly. Or maybe, you know, ask them what you need to know about yourself.
Huh.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. So, Ann, do you have anything to say as we get close to the end of the show here?
No, I think that's really interesting that you're going on that whale watch tomorrow. I'm sure you'll have a wonderful time.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if, you know, we could get in. We're awfully close, and it was wonderful having you on the show tonight, Jay. It was very interesting. I'm just trying to think of what samples we might do. Ron, do you have any thoughts what we could if we could do a couple of samples tonight or something that maybe Jay, because I know, Jay, you've done quite a few healings. And, I know, I wanted you to just share that you're going to the expo in New York. And
I am going to the expo.
The L.A. one. And how, you know, what you got out of it.
The San Francisco one, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, the L.A. show was quite an eye-opener. That, I don't even know what words to use. It just... everything clicked together for me. A lot of loose pieces of things I've observed and wondered about, i.e. why this planet's the way it is and why humanity seems to keep doing the same limited self-defeat and things over and over. And just a lot of things just clicked together for me as far as what Ron's presented. And then I started working on Creation Lightship and started seeing changes, results in my life. So I'm really grateful.
Thank you, Jay. I think I'll bring in the dolphin energy, since we're talking about dolphins. So
okay.
On the show with that here, and I'll first do the mind to heart drop. And if you're a newbie, just what you want to do is you have to command your spirit naturally, because you want to work in the light. If you think about it in your head, it's going to be in the land of darkness. And well, know about that because you've been using that system since you've been born. This is a new system. You have to command your spirit, and it'll listen to you, or she will, or it will, or they will, or he or she or it will say. I won't say they. But you command your spirit, face the thoughts inside of your head. That could be the chatter, the monkey mind, all those thoughts that are tormenting you, you know, during the day. And we count from 10 to 1 backwards, like an elevator dropping down. If you're in New York, you know about elevators and all the big buildings there. So you just drop down and do it probably, you know, 3 to 5 times, and then you're going to be at peace. You won't be able to have any thoughts bothering you, because the source doesn't judge anything. Your thoughts are all judgment. So here we go, dropping down. So 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. Taking more thoughts into your heart. 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1, 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1, and 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1. So in a sense, it's decharging the emotions on those thoughts. And now we're going to bring in the dolphin energy. You should be able to just sit there right now and be peaceful. And I'm going to bring in the dolphins. Here they come. So stronger, 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 stronger. These are lightship dolphins. Stronger, 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 and stronger. Okay, everybody, our show is coming to a close here. Thank you, Jay, for coming tonight. Thank you,
yes.
Ann. And see you all tomorrow night on BBS, same station, same time frame.
Station 2.
Station 2.
For Saturday night.
Right. And it'll be Saturday night on the lightship, so be sure and be there.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful show. And then Sunday is our 8-hour call, starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Anything, any
Wonderful.
Other announcements, Ron, we need to add?
Nope, that's good, I guess. Be in New York.
Alrighty.
We'll be at the expo, probably winding it down. Yeah, we will be wound down. And so a week from today, we'll be in New York. So blessings, everybody. See you later.
Will there be a live show on BBS next Friday?
No, there will not be.
Right.
So it'll be an archive, and then the following Friday.
Yes, the 100th.
Because I'd like to do another show.
Okay, yeah, I might. We'll see what happens. We'll skip a week, and we'll see what happens on the last Friday of the month, okay?
Yep, sounds good.
And we can hear about your whale watch trip.
Yeah.
Very
okay.
good.
Thanks so much, Jay. Bye, all.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye,
Thank
everybody.
You.